This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Two people injured in officer-involved shooting in South Wichita. We have the story.
This is day two of the machinist strike at Textron. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Israel continues airstrikes on Hezbollah positions in Lebanon, with thousands fleeing their homes.
Monday was the deadliest day in nearly a year of hostilities between Israel and the Lebanon-based militant group Hezbollah. The Lebanese health ministry says 492 people were killed. Israel has urged those living near Hezbollah positions to get out while airstrikes take place, and thousands are trying to comply, with temporary shelters being set up in schools and community buildings. Overnight, dozens more targets were hit, taking out rocket launchers with fighter jets. Hezbollah, meanwhile, continuing to fire projectiles into Israel. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
A standoff in Kingman that lasted several hours has ended. A man and woman are in custody. Kingman Police Chief David Lux says police officers, deputies, and a Highway Patrol SWAT team were called to a residence in the 400 block of East B Avenue around 2 p.m., where a stabbing suspect had barricaded himself inside. No injuries reported. The incident came to a conclusion about 1 o'clock this morning.
A domestic dispute led to a shooting in front of Cessna Elementary School in South Wichita yesterday morning in the 2100 block of West 45th Street South. Witnesses said the couple had just dropped off their children when the man shot the woman in the chest. She tried to run to the school for help, but he caught up to her and held a gun to her head. The man was then shot twice by a Sedgwick County Sheriff's deputy when the man stepped away. Both the man and the woman were hospitalized in critical condition. Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter says no children were hurt and no children were ever in any danger.
I know it can be scary. I know, you know, for parents it can be scary. But the fact of the matter is that, law enforcement showed up within 2 minutes of the shooting coming out, and it never got into the school itself.
As the incident unfolded, the school was placed on lockdown for about 2 hours.
A woman has been arrested following a fatal weekend shooting of a 38-year-old man at a Northeast Wichita apartment complex. This happened Sunday at the Inwood Crossing Apartments in the 3500 block of North Inwood. The 35-year-old woman was arrested early Monday morning on suspicion of first-degree murder. Police have not said what led to the shooting.
Machinists at Textron Aviation are on the picket lines after rejecting the company's contract offer during the weekend. Union worker Adrian Quixa says workers would like to pay less out of pocket for health insurance.
The benefits that were not there, health insurance not changing at all, and the pay grade, just everything that we go through and work for and everything, I think we deserve to get paid a lot better than what they had proposed.
And a date for new contract talks has not been scheduled.
Former President Trump talks education and tax cuts at a rally in Pennsylvania.
Former President Trump again touting his tax cut policies, including no taxes on tips and ending taxes on overtime.
We will have no tax on Social Security benefits. No tax.
Telling a crowd in Indiana, Pennsylvania, if elected again, he'll focus on U.S. manufacturing, border security, bringing down prices and reducing energy costs.
And I'm going to close the Department of Education and move education back to the states. And we're going to do it fast.
Vice President Harris will campaign in Pennsylvania on Wednesday. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Time running out for the Kansas City Royals with six games to go. We'll see if they can get in the win column tonight. We'll talk about that in sports.
A major cybersecurity company on Capitol Hill on a hot seat. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News.
This is 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
The KNSS Morning News now, 7:08, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. The Wichita City Council will hold a workshop this morning. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News part of the meeting will be devoted to funding to operate the new homeless shelter in the former Park Elementary School.
We still have to keep working towards the multi-agency portion of it, which is where all the different agencies come together, have a presence inside the MAC, so that an individual facing homelessness comes into this one location and then gets connected to the different resources that are out in our community.
Who commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted of the Morning Show on KNSS.
A major cybersecurity company on the Capitol Hill hot seat.
CrowdStrike's Senior Vice President of Counter-Adversary Operations, Adam Myers, will take a grilling from lawmakers over what was believed to be a defective software update that caused a global technology outage back in July. The House Homeland Security Committee says the outage interrupted flights, businesses, software, banks, and hospitals across the globe. Committee Chairman Mark Green says lawmakers are looking forward to hearing what steps the company has taken since the outage to make sure it doesn't happen again. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Federal investigators say they've busted a national counterfeit pill operation.
A Connecticut man is facing a host of charges after investigators say he was counterfeiting hundreds of thousands of pills out of his garage near New Haven. Many contain methamphetamine and other illicit drugs. Keldon Hinton and four others are accused of shipping more than 1,300 packages throughout the U.S. containing knockoff Xanax, oxycodone, and Adderall. The group allegedly bought their supplies from China and other countries. Tom Graham, Fox News.
Scientists say X-rays from a nuclear explosion might be used to deflect asteroids heading towards Earth.
The news that humans might be saved from extinction at the hands of a huge asteroid comes from the Sandia National Laboratories in Albuquerque, following several out-of-this-world experiments. The idea, explode a nuclear warhead close to the asteroid. But there's a downside. The blast could shatter the asteroid into multiple pieces. So instead of one giant asteroid heading toward Earth, we could be hit with a shower of smaller asteroids. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:10, 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
And once again, we're taking a look at a traffic update here on the Tuesday morning commute. Look at the Cordell and Cordell traffic cam. Been keeping an eye on the one at the Webb and Kellogg as we've had some slowdowns on the east side with some striking Textron workers. And we have very slow-moving traffic near Douglas and Webb and very slow-moving traffic to the west of Central and Greenwich. And undoubtedly that involves some of the picket lines going on at those locations. Some slow-moving traffic at those areas in East Wichita this morning near the Beach Factory. And that is a traffic update with Steve and Ted on KNSS.
And now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Ted. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing just great. Fine this morning.
Yeah, we'll have to watch out for the chance of seeing a little bit of moisture, but you know what? A couple of things. Number one, definitely not expecting a rainfall like what moved through this past weekend. And number two, it looks like a rainfall amount's going to be light, as any chance for rainfall not going to stick around for too long. It does look like closer towards that Kansas-Nebraska line. That's where there's been a few sprinkles, a few light showers, so we still have some time before our chance will start to go back up. I expect that to happen by midday. Still, though, mind you, we're only looking at around a 20% chance. Pleasant high of 75 degrees, though. And then by later on this evening, any rainfall that kind of skirts by is going to move right back out. Only a 10% chance of rain later on tonight, well after the sun goes down, with a low of 52. And then it's the middle of the week tomorrow going to be just dry, sunny, and still pleasant out there temperature-wise with a high of 77 degrees. Thursday, more sunshine, more nice temperatures, high of 75. And then the end of the work and school week going to bring us our next chance for rainfall. So far, though, only going with a 10% chance. We currently have a system down in the Atlantic quickly approaching the Gulf. That's expected to become a hurricane by tomorrow, impacting Florida by Thursday. Now, this system, it may spin maybe a few showers, a thunderstorm, some cloud cover into our part of the area, but it does look like, kind of like last time, we had some remnant tropical moisture. It looks like the majority of that rainfall going to be to the east of Wichita, but still something that we'll be watching between Friday and Saturday. Not really much change in our temperatures through the weekend and all the way into the start of next week. Highs anywhere between 75 to 78 degrees. Right now, mainly cloudy sky before that chance for rainfall arrives. Temperature right now, 57 degrees, and winds are pretty calm out there.
So we got Hurricane John and then Helene, whatever the kind of they got a couple of storms down around on either side of Mexico right now, right? A couple of big storms.
Yeah, between Helene, which is about to become a tropical storm,
yeah,
and then we recently had Francine, and you know these systems just continue to get pumped out of the you know the African coast. That's where they originate from, believe it or not.
Right.
And then they end up trekking their way all the way over into this part of the world, and we still have at least through the end of November, you know, all the way up until hurricane season comes to a close, where things will still be pretty active out there.
God, yeah, hurricane season goes right through the end of November. All right. Thank you, Ronell. That's the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. Stephen, 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Yesterday's high temperature in Wichita was 74 degrees. First full day of fall. Not bad. Normal high 81. Then on this date in 1972, lightning struck and killed a man in Waldport, Oregon, when he was carrying 35 sticks of dynamite. Woo. 1968 on this date. TV news magazine 60 Minutes premiered on CBS. And there you go. Quite a program.
Still on the air.
Yep. And a big birthday today. Actor, screenwriter Nia Vardalos is 62 today. Of course, she starred in and wrote the romantic comedy film My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Mm-hmm. That was in 2002. Which garnered her nominations for the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay.
Hey.
And there'd been about, what, three or four sequels to it. And when the movie came out, of course, my wife is of Greek heritage, so everybody in that movie I have met and known. Everybody. Okay, working 5 days a week has long been the corporate cultural form and norm. But some companies are exploring the option of letting employees work 4 days a week. The chief executive at an organization that promotes the idea says they're hoping to reduce workplace burnout and retain talent seeking a better work-life balance. Dale Wheelahan is CEO of 4-Day Week Global, which coaches companies through the process of shortening their employees' work hours. Wheelahan says 5-day work weeks were not designed for jobs requiring a lot of thinking and sitting, and that one less day doing that improves mental and physical health. So this 5-day week that you and I are working, they gave it to us because we're not very smart. We don't like to think very much. Don't anyway, what do you think, Ted? Think there'll ever be a 4-day work week for us in our lifetime?
Not in ours, but you know, we have a newscast to do every half hour.
Yeah.
It's not like...
So how are you going to change that?
It's not like you say, well, I don't want to do a newscast Friday morning at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, just... we'll blow it off. We'll go home. All right, we're going to stay here and doing the 5-day week at least for a time. Let's see what else we talk about this morning. I just want to mention something real quick. We had the weekend shootings in Wichita, two men killed in separate shootings. We had a man and woman shooting at each other near a school yesterday morning.
Man shot the woman.
Man shot the woman. It came out, though, that they both had guns at one point. So I don't know. Maybe not. Probably not. But when you confusion of the first things that are going on in those things. But anyway, this guy pulls up, lets his wife out, and shoots her. I mean, I look at this and I say, gun violence in Wichita. We talk about it all the time.
It's pretty much a daily deal.
Yeah. So what can be done? I'm sorry, nothing. Live with it.
That's pretty much what we do.
United States of America in 2024, gun violence is a way of life. 717, Stephen, 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Let's talk about sports this morning with Ted Woodward, Ted.
All right. Hey, well, we had two Monday Night Football games last night, so let's start out with that.
Two teams entered Monday Night Football without wins on the year. Both will go into Week 4 looking to end their early season losing streaks. Buffalo defeated Jacksonville 47-10, with Bills quarterback Josh Allen throwing for 263 yards and four touchdowns, adding 44 yards on the ground. Jacksonville is now 0-3, and they have lost eight of their last nine games dating back to last season. In the second game, the Commanders took down the Bengals 38-33 as Joe Burrow and company dropped their third straight to start the year. Washington quarterback Jaden Daniels completed 21 of his 23 passing attempts for 254 yards and two touchdowns, adding a score on the ground, with his 91.3% completion percentage setting an NFL rookie record. Joe Morgan, Fox News.
All right, so that wraps up the week in the NFL.
Yeah.
3 weeks down. And we will talk some pro football tonight on the weekly edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show. Played the defending back-to-back Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs are off to a 3-0 start and on a 9-game winning streak right now. When you go back to last season, the Chiefs are the number 3 spot in the conference right now behind the Steelers and the Bills. They're all 3-0. And the Chiefs have a big game coming up on Sunday afternoon, with first place on the line in the division, first place Chiefs visiting the second place Los Angeles Chargers, who are having quarterback issues right now. Maybe that's why the Chiefs are an 8-point favorite right now, going in to take on the Chargers on Sunday afternoon. So a ton of things to talk about on the weekly edition of the Chiefs Kingdom Show, hosted by the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Chiefs Kingdom Show at 5 p.m. today, and that's over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Then after the Chiefs Kingdom Show, we go to Major League Baseball. The final six games of the season, the regular season for the Kansas City Royals. I hope there's playoffs after that. The Royals are heading to Washington, D.C. for the first time in 5 years to take on the Washington Nationals. This is a franchise that the Royals have not done well against over the years, either the Expos or the Nationals. They've only won 29% of their games against that franchise.
Really?
Worst in Royals franchise history.
Wow.
This is the opponent they don't do well against for some reason. However, you know, the Royals are on a 7-game losing streak. They've had a terrible week, but maybe after a day off yesterday, they'll get things going the right direction tonight. Neither team is playing well right now. The Nationals have lost 7 of 8, and the Royals have lost 7 in a row. Here's where we stand. The Royals have a 1-game lead for a playoff spot over the Minnesota Twins with 6 games to go in the season. Royals-Nationals in the nation's capital, 6 o'clock this evening, and that is live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. And we have a couple of soccer birthdays today for former members of the Wichita Wings. Former Wichita Wings goalie, native of Denmark, Jan Olsen, is celebrating a birthday today. He is 67 today.
All right.
And a happy birthday to another former Wichita Wing midfielder, Mike Fox, an American. He was born in California. Happy birthday to Mike Fox, another former Wing. He is 63 today. So a couple of former Wings. Goalie Jan Olsen and midfielder Mike Fox, both celebrating a birthday today. And that's sports with Steve and Ted on KNSS.
7:21 now. Keep it here for House Call for Health, a recall of dairy products. And traffic and weather coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Wichita's nationally recognized Marconi Awarded radio show. This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 7:30 on this Tuesday morning. 54 degrees. Textron machinists have been on the picket line since rejecting the company's contract offer over the weekend. Union steward Troy Green says the workers voted to strike because the contract did not go far enough with health care, benefits, and wages.
The negotiations got pretty far. There were some things on the in the deal that were pretty good, but we decided to hold out and try to get a little bit more than we think we deserve.
Company says it will continue to maintain operations and service customers. Meanwhile, it's not known when negotiations will continue.
Rain fell on South Central Kansas during the weekend, but the Wichita drought plan is still in effect. Wichita Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News.
Wanting to remind community members, not just in Wichita, but we have customers that get Wichita water from the surrounding cities, that conservation is still very important. So please don't water your lawns between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m.
Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
Missouri's top court and governor have each rejected requests to cancel a Missouri man's scheduled lethal injection. Marcellus Williams is set to be executed at 6 p.m. today for the 1998 murder of Leisha Gale. Gale was a social worker and former newspaper reporter who was repeatedly stabbed during a burglary at her suburban St. Louis home. Missouri Governor Mike Parsons Monday rejected Williams' clemency request. That would have spared him from the death penalty and instead changed his sentence to life in prison.
The House Speaker is likely going to need a lot of help from Democrats to avoid a government shutdown next week.
Facing an October 1st deadline to extend government funding, congressional leaders appear poised to approve a three-month short-term spending bill, avoiding a shutdown before the November election. The deal would keep funding levels mostly unchanged through mid-December with emergency funding for the Secret Service. The agreement is a setback, however, for House Republican leaders who had hoped to advance a bill that also included the SAVE Act, requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote in federal elections. Former President Trump has urged Republicans to reject any spending bill that does not include the provision. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
A congressman faces allegations of having an affair with an employee and potentially committing ethics violations.
New York Republican swing district Congressman Anthony D'Esposito allegedly hired his fiancée's daughter to work in his office, as well as the woman he's accused of having an affair with. This from a New York Times investigation that says D'Esposito's alleged move would be in violation of House ethics. The congressman avoided reporters on Capitol Hill after the news broke, but appeared to respond to this question.
I think this is just a political attack to the campaign.
D'Esposito represents New York's toss-up 4th Congressional District, which will be a key district come November in determining which party controls the House. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Russia has promised not to ignite another nuclear arms race as long as the U.S. vows the same.
The head of Russia's nuclear test site has given an interview to a state-run newspaper. Andriy Sinitsyn promises his country won't conduct any more nuclear weapons tests on one condition, that the U.S. also refrains. Sinitsyn, though, told Rossiyskaya Gazeta his facility is prepared to get to work if called upon. He says it's recently been made fully ready in response to improvements made to American testing infrastructure. Moscow last conducted a nuclear test under the Soviet regime in 1990. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
For your Tuesday, partly to mostly cloudy skies, another system swinging through, bringing that cloud cover our way. Also a 20% chance of seeing a shower or thunderstorm out there. Not expecting anything severe, though, and the fall feel continues. Pleasant high of 75. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Now a clear sky, calm, and 54 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:35, Steve and Ted in the Morning here on this Tuesday, September 24th. And it's time for our weekly visit with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Steve and Ted, good morning. Great to be with you.
Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, I don't have a meeting, a scheduled meeting tomorrow. So what will you do to fill up your day of nothing to do?
Right? Well, yeah, no meeting the last Wednesday of every month. I won't be playing golf. I'll assure you that. We've got a lot of work to be done. several meetings. You know, that last week of the month when we don't meet, I think all the commissioners really try to fill that day with some meetings and play a little bit of catch up. And part of the job is obviously constituent replies, constituent emails, constituent phone calls. And I think all of us also, all five commissioners also have community events to where we'll do little roundtable discussions and coffees and meet and greet kind of stuff, just to open up discussion and to make sure that we're listening. And that's what I choose to do on that last Wednesday of the month, is I try to have as many community events as I can. And I think my colleagues do the same. But there's a lot going on, whether we're meeting or we're not meeting. There's a lot going on in Sedgwick County right now. And it's all some good, some bad, but all very, very important.
Of course, we talked to Mayor Wu yesterday, and she was saying that their workshop today, they're going to take a look at solar energy. And I know that you at the county have been looking at that for quite a while now.
Yeah, we spent a year because the bulk of the solar energy conversation isn't around the type of solar panels that you put on your roof or even 1 acre, 5 acre lots where you use solar. The type of solar energy that's being discussed, that we discussed at the county, rather, was industrial solar. This is when you actually tie into power plants that will move into our regional grid. These are projects that are typically 1,000, 1,500, sometimes 2,000, 3,000 acres. So that we had a year of a moratorium on all solar of that size in Sedgwick County while we worked out some of the policies and protocols and regulations we wanted to govern the use. And we just finished that up last month to where we put some pretty sizable restrictions and regulations on what that use is permitted to do here in Sedgwick County. And that's for the unincorporated pieces of Sedgwick County. Now, the city of Wichita will also look at it so we can adopt one code into our unified zoning code.
And what is the, just to reiterate, what is the county's policy on wind energy then?
Great question. So the solar and wind pieces are separate. We do not permit wind energy in Sedgwick County. This was a decision that was made, I believe, about a decade ago. And after another long period of time, just like what we did with solar, to where we did a lot of research and brought in consultants. And a lot of it with wind energy just had to do with the nature of our environment here in Sedgwick County, particularly with air travel. And the wind turbines and the vortexes that are created there with wind disturbance. So we felt it was best to ban wind, but also permit solar, but really regulate the use. That way we're not gobbling up thousands and thousands of acres that are used for either farming, ag, ranching, or future development of our cities.
All right. Anything to say about the drought that continues? Not much you can do about it except not use as much water, I guess.
You pray and doing a lot of rain dances. Yeah, I've said it multiple times that I think we're about 20 years behind in the conversation. And there's a couple of thoughts here that I think are important for our community to understand. Number one, it's just the general awareness of the crisis. And I use that term very intentionally. I do believe this is a crisis. And a lot of my mental framework and my perspective is shaped by my family's cattle ranch in western Kansas. We have a fairly sizable cattle operation in Ness County, and we haven't been able to drill a well in the better part of 5-6 years now for water. So that drought in western Kansas has been quite a bit more substantially longer than what we're experiencing here. But the impacts are the same, is that we have a finite source of water. And the one thing we cannot control is the rain. So we need to be innovative. We need to be really think about conservation, but we also need to think about technologies. And what technologies can we use, not just in ag, but in general use, in industrial. Many people don't realize how much advanced manufacturing uses water. And what can we do to help, not just the recycling piece, but if we're going to do incentives in any stretch, then why don't we incentivize recycling and conservation and in the industry and manufacturing bases that we have that's so prevalent here in this part of our country. So it's a lot of conversations. They're hard conversations. But these are the conversations we have to engage if we're really going to preserve our water source here in this part.
The average person out there, Joe Sixpack or whatever, he goes in, turns on the tap, and the water comes out. He says, what shortage? Why do I need to do this? I don't know. Something struck me yesterday. I'm in a parking lot. There's two guys sitting in a van playing with their video games, motors running on the car, and I'm thinking, did anybody ever have a discussion with them about, A, you're wasting fuel, you're wasting your money, and you're polluting the atmosphere. Do we ever have those conversations with anybody anymore?
Well, I don't know. I know we have these conversations in my house frequently with our kids because there's a cost to these things. And you have to be responsible with the resources that we have. And I always go back to just awareness. In all these issues that we're dealing with our community, whether it be foster care crisis or the water crisis or gun violence or all crime, homelessness, it all begins with a level of awareness. Unless our people are aware of the situation and the data and the story that data is telling us, then they don't fully understand the level of crisis. And I think that's the situation with water. Is just as you indicated, Steve, you turn the tap on, water comes out, and we don't understand it's a finite source, and we don't understand the level of drought that we're in right now. And what if we don't get rain for 2 more years, 3 more years, 4 more years? What does it look like then? And so we have to build the level of awareness so people understand exactly what's at stake. And then we have to back that up with ideas. We have to back that up with innovation and a real plan to help guide us through this type of season.
My sister-in-law, my late brother's wife, lives in New Mexico. She still trucks in water. They're not on the grid and never have been in the past 40 years. And they know the value. And I'll tell you, you nailed it, I think, Ryan, the awareness factor. People just aren't aware, are they?
Well, and what happens so often in complex issues, and I see this in a lot of different issues, but I think water really kind of is at the top of this list, is when you have particularly elected leadership and government leadership, when you get a really complex, hard problem and we need a solution, what happens so often is we get right up to the point of hard and then we pull back. Because there really are no easy solutions to this. And you look at this at the national debt and some of these real issues and some of the global issues that we're experiencing. And like you mentioned earlier, gun violence, there are no easy solutions to these problems. So what happens is we get right up to the point of discussion and then we pull back because it's hard. And all I've said, particularly on the local issues, is we've got to push past hard. We've got to really push past the level of hard and really have the difficult conversations of what it's going to take, not just for conservation, but innovation and technology to set up future generations for secure water sources.
All right. Thank you. I'm getting a headache from thinking too much. But
yeah, me too.
Hey, some good thoughts today, but thank you. Appreciate your time this morning, as always. And
have a great week, guys.
We'll talk to you next week. Ryan Beatty, Sedgwick County Commission Chair. It's a pretty interesting things to say there this morning. 7:43, Steve and Ted. And coming up, we've got the Wichita Business Journal update this morning. A new McDonald's is going into West Wichita. Hooray.
Hey now.
That's on the way. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
This is 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS, 7:48 now here on this Tuesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Man and woman injured in officer-involved shooting near South Wichita Grade School.
Two.
Harris and Trump concentrating their campaigns in Pennsylvania this week.
One.
Textron Aviation Machinists Strike, day two. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
And a traffic update here on your Tuesday morning commute. And we'll take a look at the Cordell and Cordell traffic cam at Kellogg and Webb. We're seeing some slowdowns, westbound Kellogg, southbound Webb there. We have seen some slowdowns this morning because of some of those striking picket workers on the picket lines, on the Textron workers there on the Beechcraft plant side of things on the east side of town. Very slow traffic at Douglas and Webb, Central and Webb, Central and Greenwich, and Kellogg and Greenwich as well, related to some of those picket line activities this morning. That's Traffic Update with Steve and Ted, KNSS.
Partly cloudy with a 20% chance for rain today, then a high of 75 degrees. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 52. Wednesday, sunny. Tomorrow's high, 79 degrees. Now a clear sky, calm, and 54 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Our weather's brought to you by the Monarch. Go enjoy that new outdoor patio with the Monarch. The patio is ready for you, waiting for you and your friends. Go to the Monarch and try out the patio. The Monarch, West Douglas in historic Delano. Boeing stock was among the winners on Wall Street Monday.
The major averages closing higher with both the Dow and S&P 500 notching fresh record closes as investors weighed Fed comments. Today, Federal Reserve Presidents Raphael Bostic, Neil Kashkari, and Austin Goolsbee supported the central bank's last rate cut and voiced support for more cuts for the rest of the year. Healthcare and tech lagged while energy advanced and mega-cap tech stocks were mixed. However, Facebook parent Meta Platforms hit a 52-week high, as did IBM. The Dow winners, Boeing, IBM, and Visa. The Dow decliners, Apple, Salesforce, and Amgen. The Dow up 61 points, the Nasdaq higher by 26, S&P 500 up 16. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
A tugboat powered by ammonia sailed for the first time Sunday in the Hudson River to show how the maritime industry can slash planet-warming carbon dioxide emissions. Tugboat used to run on sea's diesel fuel. The New York-based startup company, Amogy, bought the 67-year-old ship to power it in a new carbon-free way using ammonia and an electric fuel cell. Tugboat's first sail is a milestone in a race to develop zero-emission propulsion.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. McDonald's is approaching 30 locations in the Wichita area with its newest restaurant on Mays Road. I had no idea. A building permit with a valuation of $1.5 million was pulled recently to build a McDonald's on the lot just north of the Strip Center at the northwest corner of Mays and 37th in northwest Wichita. McDonald's will join several other fast food spots at that growing intersection, including Five Guys, Noodles & Co., Dairy Queen, and Barnard's. The intersection is anchored by a Menards at the southeast corner.
Kevin Chase, a Derby banker, and Derby High School football coach Brandon Clark have been friends since 2015. For almost a decade, Chase and Clark have been helping companies build organizational culture in the Wichita area with a culture coaching business called Coach and the Cowboy. The business helps companies set and achieve organizational goals and achievements. The two have now co-written a book, which they launched this month, Culture Champion. And that's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal. So, Ted, we have, what did you say, almost 30 McDonald's locations.
That's what
Wichita.
It says.
How about that? I didn't know we had that many.
I didn't either.
And what was the last count on Cheesecake Factories?
Bubkus.
Bubkus. Zero.
Got to drive to Kansas City.
You have to go to Kansas City. All right. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS and 7:53 now. What are you doing this? You got weekend? You got the volleyball going this weekend or what?
I haven't looked ahead. Yeah, there's a home volleyball match Friday night. So
okay,
I'll be out at Coke Arena Friday.
All right.
I haven't looked ahead. I don't know what's going on in my life.
Right. Okay, so we're only at Tuesday. We got plenty of time to plan out the rest of the week, huh? I can't think of anything I've got going on this weekend. Last week we had. Was it last weekend we went to Hutch or the weekend before that? I can't even remember. Went to Hutch and we did the town hall.
Yes, we did.
With the senators, Senator Marshall.
That was 2 weekends ago.
That was 2 weeks ago. Right, time is passing. Anyway. Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty to do this weekend, keep us busy. One of the things I'm really so proud of myself on Saturday morning of getting up and mowing and trimming that grass. So my lawn is the best looking lawn before the rain came in.
Well done.
The best looking lawn on the entire street, as far as I'm concerned. Kind of proud of that. Anyway.
I know. It's always nice when your lawn looks good.
It's the little
maybe
things.
Maybe a little bit better than your neighbors.
It's the little things. All right. Let's see. 7:54. Okay. Stay with us in the 8 o'clock hour. As usual, Steve and Ted, we've got some good things planned for you. Going to have the latest on an officer-involved shooting near a Wichita, South Wichita school. And we'll tell you about an hours-long police standoff in Kingman. Ted has sports on the way, right, Ted?
That's right. We'll take a look at the last six games to go in the regular season for the Kansas City Royals and playoff scenarios. We'll talk about that in sports.
Plus, entertainment news is on the way.
Yeah, all your entertainment news, as always, will be at 8:35 this morning. We're all loaded and ready to go.
And we have traffic and weather. Stay with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.